Crown Heights is a working-class neighborhood in Brooklyn, 90% black, with a large Caribbean African-American population. It's also the headquarters of the Lubavitch Hasidic. 10 years ago today, riots erupted there. They began several hours after a car hit and instantly killed a young black child named Gavin Cato. A group of angry blacks broke windows and looted stores. Then, shouting, "Get the Jew," they fatally stabbed a 29-year-old rabbinical student named Yankel Rosenbaum. For days after the two deaths, there was more looting, violence, and angry confrontations between demonstrators. Almost 200 people were injured. Crown Heights then became associated with violence and hatred between blacks and Jews. 10 years later, Caribbean blacks and Hasidic Jews are coming together in Crown Heights to commemorate the tragedy and to celebrate what they say has been a real healing in their community. NPR's Margot Adler has more.
Sitting around a long table in the offices of Community Board 9 on Nostrand Avenue, an unusual discussion is taking place about food.
What we can try to do is that we can print something out, you know, that says kosher food.
An African-American Catholic bishop, two Lubavitch women, the chairman of a local community board who is black, are among the dozen or more people who are planning a street fair and dinner commemorating the death and violence that happened a decade ago.
If you're going to set up, you must have. Richard, do we know anything about that?
But she brings whatever she needs.
It's almost inconceivable when you look at the people sitting at this table to remember the depth of anger and passion after the deaths of Gavin Cato and Yankel Rosenbaum. Here is how one unidentified black young man expressed his feelings to NPR just after the riots.
To them, it was an accident. That's what the police feel. It was an accident to them. But if a black would have knocked down a Jewish baby like that for trying to beat a red light, we'd be on Rikers Island right now, treated like animals and pigs, beat up and all whatever by the police. You see what I'm saying?
As for the Hasidim, they felt the police had failed to protect them. This unidentified rabbi told NPR that his neighborhood had become a war zone.
We were hoping that a pogrom will be something that will remain in the history books. Unfortunately, we in Crown Heights have seen a pogrom with our very own eyes.
The violence in Crown Heights may have changed New York politics forever. It became an issue in the next mayoral election, and many analysts believe if not for Crown Heights, Mayor David Dinkins, who lost to Rudolph Giuliani by only 60,000 votes, might have won a second term. And while the media tended to portray the conflict as black against white and black against Jew, the mostly working-class Caribbean blacks and Hasidic Jews in Crown Heights are themselves minorities within the black and Jewish communities. Today, Bishop Owen Augustine, who is the vice chair of Project CARE, a coalition of African-American and Jewish men and women, says things are different now. Come and stand on the street in front of my chapel, he says.
You see, every nation, every cultural group, every ethnic group, and they'll greet each other. You go down to Union Street, you'll see the Jewish kids playing basketball. So it's a different atmosphere altogether. Not that we don't have any problems, because the city has problems. We all need more services, but we are working together to help Crown Heights get its fair share.
Ben Zion Meltzer, the chair of Project CARE, says it's taken a while, but people are speaking honestly and not always politically correctly. When I said the meeting I attended seemed a bit careful to dot all the I's and cross the T's, he replied,
"We're not so careful when the press isn't here."
Hannah White, a Lubavitch woman originally from South Africa, remembers standing on the street on the first anniversary of Gavin Cato's death and Yankel Rosenbaum's stabbing. There she met Jean Griffiths, the mother of Michael Griffiths, who was brutally murdered in 1986 by a gang of white youths in Howard Beach, Queens. A judge introduced the two women and said, "If there is to be peace, you must make it." Together, they created a group of Caribbean black and Lubavitch women called Mothers to Mothers. White says during the first year, everyone was cordial. Then they took a deep step. They held a meeting to discuss the riots head on.
And got everybody to talk about their feelings and what they'd been through throughout the riots. We actually brought a woman who lived on Utica and Presidents who had stones thrown at her. And it was powerful. And I felt that's when Mothers to Mothers really start, because it's very nice to sit in a room and just talk nicely. And I think that's what glued us together.
The group meets once a month and has done so for 9 years. They talk about children, the differences between wigs and cornrows. Once whites suggested they bring their favorite book. A black woman and a Jewish woman both brought the Bible.
We found that the women have more in common, more similarities than differences.
I immediately think, for example, large families.
Large families. Belief in God, which is something that, as a religious woman, I thought we were the only ones who had this religious life. Investment in community. Investment in our children and a safe area to bring them up in.
It's one thing for leaders to come together or a group of mothers. Out on the street, it's not as harmonious. A public school and a Lubavitch girls' school are next to each other on Crown Street. A group of black kids are hanging out one block away. Carla Lee Thomas and Devin Smith are both 12. To them, there is a clear division in the neighborhood between blacks and Jews.
Jewish live down that, down there. We live over here, so.
People don't walk over there, really.
You have any Jewish kids in your school, or is it all black kids?
Black and Puerto Ricans and Chinese.
Yeah. I don't think we have Jewish.
Any? One?
No.
We can
try to make friends with them. They won't talk.
Over on Eastern Parkway, 71-year-old James Beyer points to New York Avenue as the dividing line. The police don't come on this side, he says resentfully.
See, I'm a retired air traffic controller. And I worked upstate in Poughkeepsie, and I told my family, I said, anything happens, don't tell them your name is Beyer. Tell them your name is Goldberg or this Berg or any kind of Berg to get assistance. I'm telling you the truth. You see their police cars parked there on Kingston Avenue in front of their yeshiva, their shul. The police cars are there 24 hours a day.
24/7, yeah. That protection.
Don't we need that protection too?
I like
to walk the street maybe 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night and don't have to worry about somebody trying to mug me or rob me?
The resentments that existed 10 years ago are still here. Blacks remain angry that the driver who hit Cato was not charged and left for Israel. Jews believe the police have lessened their protection. Each side believes that the other receives preferences. But Richard Green, a black community activist who founded the Crown Heights Youth Collective, says from what he has seen of the police in the community, neither side gets better treatment.
I'm around this community. I see Hasidics pulled over just as much as I see blacks pulled over. I see Hasidics ticketed.
Green has arranged sports events between black and Jewish kids in Crown Heights. The community has learned a lot, he says, but blacks should not expect the Lubavitch to be part of their life.
They don't mix it up with other Jews. They don't mix it up with other whites. They don't mix it up with people, period. They're very close, orthodox community.
We are different culture. But we know we are all children to the same God, and we live peacefully and nice with one another.
Along Eastern Parkway, only steps from where James Beyer talked about the division of the street, Judy Hirsch pushes a baby carriage. She's with two of her 7 children.
We say hello, good morning. They know the names of the children and every...
These are African-American black neighbors?
Yeah, very nice people.
Just beautiful. I think that sometimes the media is overreacting.
Activist Richard Green says what's changed most in the last 10 years is communication. The struggle that remains, he says, is to create preventative programs to help young people become responsible citizens. That's the only way to ensure, he says, that they won't lose control in the streets when something, a rumor, an incident, a tragedy, happens. Margo Adler, NPR News, New York.